Yeah. So thank God for everyone that is here. I'm praying that God will develop our faith. This month we are actually having the theme authority, the God's word, the final authority in our lives. And just want to let you know, during the Sunday Bible hour, we are actually having what we call a series in reading the Bible, doing your quiet time and all that. And I honestly believe that we just need to be equipped with the basic skills of Bible reading. And so that's why we're doing that next week. We will still be doing that. If you need help, please come. We'll go through it together and then we'll problem solve some of the things so that on a daily basis, you will be able to learn God's Word by yourself. And at the end of the 15-minute session, many of you all, I'm sure, wrote down some things that God wants you to do. And usually, based on God's Word, making a decision will help you to grow every day. And I can tell you, God wants to speak to you every day. Okay? So, with that in mind, let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. And let's stand. We'll be reading 4 verses from there. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Okay, I'll read verse 8, then you read verse 9, and so on until we finish at verse number 11. Okay? Ready? Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof." Verse 9. Verse 10. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Verse 11. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before your holy presence this morning. Lord, we know these are revealed words. These are inspired words which you have put in the Bible. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon your word into our lives. For without you, Lord, we will not understand anything. Lord, we thank you for everyone that has come today. And I know it is no coincidence, Lord, that whoever that is here for a reason. Father, I pray that you will hide thy servant behind the cross and that, Lord, thy Holy Spirit will take your word and speak it to the hearts of everyone, Lord, who will listen. And God, I pray today if there's a heart that is controlled by guilt, I pray that you will bring forgiveness, Lord. They realize the Lord Jesus can forgive their sin. Or if there's a heart that is filled with a burden that just cannot be lifted, I pray that they will find strength in Christ. Lord, I pray for a heart that might be discouraged by the events of life. But God, I pray that we will find courage from you. Lord, I pray for one who is striving to walk the Christian life with all their might. I pray that they might find in the Lord Jesus Christ the example of perseverance. Lord, I pray today you will take your word and apply it to our lives that, Lord, you in the end will have the glory. When people look at our lives and there is a change, they might see our good works, Lord, and glorify you in heaven. Take this hour, Lord, and bless it, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've just read Joshua chapter 2. And I think it's a very familiar passage to many people. It talks about Rahab. Rahab is a hero of the faith. Did you know that? Rahab the harlot was a hero of the faith because God recorded his name in Hebrews 11 verse 31. The Bible's hall of faith, not fame, faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 31, for those who are visiting us for the first time, you can actually refer to your bulletin. In between, there's kind of like the assignment, or you want tutorial if you want, just to follow along, okay? We thank God in Hebrews 11:31, God recorded by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. The Bible tells us that she perished not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, what was the situation back then? Just for the benefit of those people who may not know the Bible story. Rahab was a Canaanite woman of Jericho. God has told Joshua, you are to go into the promised land and conquer the promised land. And Jericho was the first city that they came to. The name Rahab means wide, W-I-D-E, wide or broad. Okay? It has the idea of pride as well. It has the idea of pride. She had her own family and probably she wasn't married because she was a harlot. A harlot basically is a lady who sells her body to make money, okay, and to entertain men. That was her trade, and probably because of her trade, she wasn't married. She was a woman of pleasure, a woman of immoral reputation. Now Joshua was acting on the instruction of God to go in and take the promised land. But being a cautious manager, a steward of God's will, he sent spies into Shittim to spy out the land in the city of Jericho. To find out more about Jericho, kind of like the spies or what we call in army terms reconnaissance. Okay, they sent soldiers in to find out more about the city. Then we see in Joshua chapter 2 in verse 1 to 6, which is an amazing thing, because Rahab, when he found the spies coming in, she knew what the spies' mission was. But instead of turning the spies into for the soldiers who came to find out the spies, she actually hid the spies. Okay, she actually hid the spies. Now, when the people come to spy out your country in order to conquer it, what would you do? What would you do? Timothy, if two Singaporeans go over to the Philippines to spy out your land, and in order to conquer the whole land of Philippines, and you know that, what would you do? Sorry? Stop them, okay? Stop them, alright? I remember when I was in the army, I was teaching on national education, and I told the BMT recruits, and say, there's only three things you tell your enemies, okay? What do you tell them? Your name, your rank, and your IC number. Under the Geneva Convention, you don't have to review anything else. Okay? And I told them that, I still remember, that was in 1991, I believe, I was in this. So I was telling them, if any of you have been found out to betray your country, I will personally execute you. I told you I was an officer, so I'll personally execute you. That is treason. And I think in many countries of the world, betrayal of a country is a death penalty. In many countries of the world, not all, but many countries of the world. So generally, you would surrender. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 2, and verse 2, and it said, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, bring forth the men that are come to thee. In other words, the king knew about this mission, which told me, they tell us something about the two men. They weren't very tactical, for those in the army, you understand. Alright, they weren't very, they weren't very careful about their mission. Alright, apparently the king of Jericho found out, and within a few hours it was found out that these two men came and they were staying with Rahab. And so in this situation, the soldiers came to Rahab and say, look, we want the two men. Where are they? But Rahab did not actually surrender them. Okay, now in doing what Rahab did, she betrayed her country, right? She was a traitor to the city of Jericho, her country. Now, the question we need ourselves is, you must also understand, Rahab risked her life to hide the spies, because it is the death penalty for anyone who do that. The question we need to ask ourselves is, why did she do it? Why did she risk everything in order to hide the spies? Her life? Her country, she risked to give up all her important to her country, her work, her work, harlotry, her sin, and yes, her life also. Why is she willing to risk all? The Bible gives us the answer. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It was by faith. By faith. Now what is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Today's message is the development of faith in the life of a genuine believer. The development of faith in the life of a genuine believer. But what is faith? What is faith? You find me talking a bit loud, it's because one of my ears are still infected, so I need that feedback. Okay? But in Hebrews 11 verse 1, I hope you'll be excited by this, because I'm going to show you some things from the Bible, alright? Hebrews 11 verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we've heard that definition of faith many times. What does it mean? Faith is the substance. The word substance, upon further study, you understand it is actually divided into two words. Sub, meaning under. Stance, meaning something you stand on. Okay? So faith is the foundation of things that you hope for. During the first century Palestine, the word substance word, the word Greek word for substance, has the idea of business documents having a guarantee. Does that make sense? It is a guarantee of a business transaction. For example, let's say if you buy a house, and some of you will buy a house, we have a title deed, right? That document signed by the HDB, signed by us, we paid the money, shows that no one can take away the house from us because the title deed belongs to us. Okay? Does that make sense? The Bible says, faith is the foundation, the assurance, the confidence of the things you hope for. Of the things that you hope for. Okay? And faith is also the proof, the evidence of the things that you do not see. Oh, Brother Johnny, what do you mean by all that? Simple. So I'll just paraphrase it, then I'll give you a very simple illustration. Faith is the presence of a belief, which is the foundation of the things we hope for. That means, when someone says to you, I'm going to give you $500. Okay, let's see who has a bit more money. You know, ching ching. You know the. Okay, let's see. Okay, for James. There's no James here, right? Is there James? No James, okay. Let's say James is sitting there, and I'm telling James, I'm going to give you $500. Okay? That's my word. Yes? I'm going to give James $500 in 3 days' time. That's my word. And so James naturally will ching ching, you know, the dollar signs comes out, and then his mind has the hope of receiving the $500. And so maybe on Sunday I say, but I'll give it to him by Wednesday. So James will on Monday will think, oh, I'm going to get the $500, yay! Have you got the $500 yet? No. But the fact that it is there is based on the fact that someone has already given him a promise, right? So on Tuesday, tomorrow I'm going to get the $500. Woo! Has he got the $500 yet? No. Okay? But it's still there. Do you know why? Because he believes that I'm going to give him $500 on Wednesday. And Wednesday, 12:01 a.m. Hello, is my $500 where? He starts calling me because he believes that I'm going to give it to him. Early in the morning, or later, can? Okay, I say later, I'll give you 6 hours sleep. So 6 a.m. he calls me, hey, Brother Johnny, where's the $500? Your ATM not open yet. Wait, can? But he keeps on pressing. Why do you think he keeps on pressing? Because he believes I'm going to give him $500, which he hasn't received yet. Right? But let's say It's reached 11:59:40 on Wednesday. He's getting anxious. Wednesday is coming to an end and say, "Brother Johnny, where is the $500? Nah, give you." And it was a $500 monopoly money. I said, "Ah, you lied to me." I didn't lie to you. I said, "I'll give you $500, but I just didn't tell you which currency it was in." Right? Faith is something that you mentally give yourself to, trust in, and you hold on in your entire life, and you base your life on that. Does that make sense? Which means you better know what is the foundation and basis of your faith. You know what's the foundation of our faith? The Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He is Creator God. He is the God that made everything, including you and me. And He is the God that we must face one day in judgment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so, with that as the foundation, so faith is also the evidence, the fact that I'm doing certain things is based on what I believe in. Can I say this? Every one of us living, staying, listening to this message today, you have a foundation in your life that you are basing your entire life on. That is your faith. But whether it is genuine faith is another story. Because I can tell you, a lot of people believe in money. But it is unstable faith. Right? If you believe in your career, it is unstable faith. If you believe in men, it is unstable faith. But if you believe in Christ and His Word, that is stable faith. And today I want us to discover in simple terms the development of how does faith develop in a genuine Christian? Where does it start? How is it confirmed? And how is it manifested? And how is it finished? Because I can tell you, many people claim to be Christians today, but there is no change in their lives. Are you listening? There are many people who say they are Christians, but day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, there is no change in their habits, there is no change in their thoughts, there is no change in their opinions, there is no change in whatever they believe, and they claim, "Oh, that's me." No, there is no change. If there is genuine faith, there will be change. For those who are studying for the PSLE, you will learn the life cycle of a butterfly, for example. Right? Come, who's taking PSLE this year? Yes, thank you, put out your hand. Okay, Jarrell, you were second, so I put Sam on the spot. Alright, what is the first stage of the life cycle of a butterfly? No help, please, those O-level people. You must give him a chance. You sure? You cannot be so unsure for your PSLE, right? Yeah, you say egg, then after that? Oi! What's that? Then what? Okay, it's a larva, right? Okay, then after that? The pupa, right? And then after that? Huh? Then the what? The what? The adult butterfly, right? Okay. Now look at the life cycle of the butterfly. It naturally goes from the egg. I got primary school teacher here, right? Don't play a fool, huh? If I'm wrong. You have the egg, naturally it will become a larva. Okay, then naturally it will become a pupa and naturally it become a butterfly, yes? Listen carefully. If God put genuine faith in a person, that person will follow what God put in. Agree? Agree? If God put genuine faith in the person, it will grow in the normal sense. Unless there are interference, personal opinion, sin, that disrupts that cycle. But let's go back to basics. Today we want to look at what is the normal development of the Christian faith in an individual. And I'm hoping through the life of Rahab, we can see that. Okay? Now, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The word become means are becoming new. In other words, last time I used to be angry easily, I can control myself now. Last time I used to steal, now I don't steal, I work hard now. Last time I used to swear, I don't swear now, I speak kind words now. Last time I used to just live for myself, but now I live for someone else. Because why? Jesus is a God who teaches us to be selfless, to think of other people. Does it make sense? And so last time I always do things for myself, I buy things for myself, enjoy myself, but now I think of other people more. Why? Because Christ has changed my life, okay? Number one, the development of faith in the believer. Number one, faith commences by what we hear. The beginning of faith is by what we hear. Look at Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. It's very interesting, the story as I was studying there. In Joshua chapter 2 verse 8, the soldiers have come, Rahab has said, well, we don't know. Yeah, there were men who came, but I didn't know who they were. Anyway, the gate is going to shut. Last time, when they have those big gates, like if you go to China, they have these big giant gates. So at the night time, usually to protect the city, they will close the giant gates. Does it make sense? And so for the city of Jericho, Rahab was saying it was about to be nightfall and the gates were going to close. So the two men that came in to spy, they quickly ran out already. Where they went, I don't know. Quickly run and go and find them. You will be able to overcome them. That was what Rahab said. After the men have ran off, Rahab actually went out. Look at verse 8. Before they were laid down, that means before the two men fell asleep, she came up unto them upon the roof. Verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land, and the terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. There were two accounts specifically that Rahab said she heard. What was the first account? How God opened the Red Sea. Okay? What was the second account? The Red Sea one, I think we all know the account. But the second account might be a little bit obscure. What's the second account? How they utterly destroyed Sihon and Og. Now what happens in Numbers chapter 11 was, the children of Israel was moving forward, but and they were going into this city, Sihon, and they were asking the king, King, let us through. We are not going to disturb you, we just want a narrow passage through. We're not going to touch any, we're going to attack you, we're just going to go through. The king of Sihon says, no. And that's when Moses and the people say, well, if you say no, we are going in. And they brought their whole armies. In fact, Sihon, the king of Sihon, brought the whole armies to fight Israel. But that's when God destroyed Israel and moved on. The next city they came in was the king of Og. Same thing. King, let us through. We just want a narrow passage to move on. The king says, no. And then the king brought the soldiers to fight Israel and God says, destroy. Okay? Now, what is the common thread between these two stories? There was a common thing between these two stories. Both were obstacles to the forward move of God. The will of God. Does that make sense? The Red Sea blocked the movement of Israel over to the next part. And the king of Sihon, king of Og, also blocked or obstructed God's will. But Rahab heard how God removed all of that. Okay? Now, have you heard, Christian, how God overcame obstacles in the life of His people? Have you heard? Have you heard in Luke 4:18, I'll just read, that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised? Have you heard in the Bible, in Luke chapter 8, that Jesus, when he saw Jairus crying for her daughter, have you heard that the Lord Jesus Christ raised Jairus' daughter from the dead? Have you heard that? Have you heard that Jesus in John chapter 11 raised Lazarus from the dead? Have you heard that? Have you heard in Mark chapter 10, Jesus opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus? Have you heard in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 that Jesus Himself rose from the dead? Have you heard that? Have you heard that nothing is impossible with God? In the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Have you heard that God wants to answer your prayer? In John chapter 16 verse 10, hitherto up to now have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye might receive that your joy may be full. Have you heard? And have you heard that Jesus cares so much for you? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. And for you, have you heard that Jesus is not only the Son of God, He is the Creator God. The Bible says if you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you will die and go to a devil's hell, whether you believe there's a hell or not. Because the Bible is very clear. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 20:15. Have you heard that Jesus Christ came to die for you on the cross, to save you from that hell? Have you heard that the Lord Jesus Christ said, no matter what difficulties in your life, I will be with you always, even unto the ends of the world? Have you heard Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Have you heard in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Have you heard Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Have you heard Romans 8:28, for those who are going a transition in your life, for all things work for good to them that love God, for them who are called according to His purpose. Have you heard that Jesus Christ said, John chapter 14 verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Have you heard that? And dear friends, this is the first commencement of faith. What I've just told you is the Word of God. Have you heard? Have you heard? Okay, David, control. Yeah? Control. Okay? Have you heard? Because Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The very first step in your life as a Christian, there must be faith. There must be a hearing. Faith commences by what you hear. I just need to say this last one. Have you heard that ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free? Some of us are trapped by our past. Some of us are trapped by the way we think. Some of us are trapped by our sin. But Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. And notice what He said. The truth is not going to set you free. The truth will make you free. That's a difference. When I set someone free, he just free. But when Jesus makes us free, He not only sets us free, He gives us the power to live that free life. Amen? Amen? He not only says, I set you free from your sin, but He says, look, I'm going to give you a new house. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a community of believers to help you. I'm going to give you all these things so that you can continue to live your Christian faith. Number one, have you heard? And I believe all of us have heard what I've just told you. Number one. Number two, that faith is then confirmed by what you say, by what you confess. Look at Joshua chapter 2 verse 9. The Bible says, as ye said unto the men, I know the Lord had given you the land. What did she say? On the first part she said, I've heard how God dried up the Red Sea and destroyed the kings that stopped you. But you know the second part in verse 9, she said unto the men, I know. I know. I No. The Lord has given you the land and that your terror is to fall upon us. When Rahab said that to the man, this is what he was saying. The word I know in the Hebrew means I understand. I perceive. I'm seeing that God is moving forward by opening the Red Sea for you, by destroying the kings, I can perceive, I can understand what God is doing. Okay? I can perceive, I can understand. You know, when we hear the word of God, that's the first line. But number two, we need to be able to understand what God says. Let me ask you a question. What does God mean when He say, I am the light of the world? What does He mean? To many of us, when we hear that, oh, okay, God is light of the world. Do you realize that is not God's intention? When God says, I am the light of the world, it means I am the light of the world that can help you. You need to understand, when you look at a light like this, you know that when you come in, it's all dark, you switch on the light, you understand that if I press the switches here, the light comes on, it helps me to see what's in the room. Does that make sense? You know, when you hear the word of God, you cannot, don't just hear the word of God and walk home. You need to hear and say, what in the world is God meaning by that? When He says, I'm the light. So here you ask, what does Rahab mean when He says, I know the Lord has given you the land? This is what Rahab understood. When he was speaking to the two men, he's saying, look, I've already heard how God joined the Red Sea. I've already heard how God destroyed Sihon and Og. Tell you what, I understand. It seems to me that God wants to move through this land. Does that make sense? I understand the plan of God as I'm hearing it. So number one is the knowing. But interestingly, the second one is I believe. Because if you look further on, in verse number 11, after he has heard, in verse 11, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Notice a confession. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know what Rahab is doing? I've heard, I understand, I believe. Because he said, your God, He is the God of heaven and earth. Do you know what Rahab is doing there? And this is a very important point for every person who calls themselves a Christian. The word I believe is consistent with Romans chapter 10 verse 9. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 to 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Notice what the Bible says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There are groups who don't believe even in hell or in death. Or rather, they believe that when a person dies, they just remain there. It's just a lifeless thing. The Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. But here, Paul is telling the Roman Christians, if you will believe in it, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, it's not what you say that saves you, only there must be a belief in your heart. There must be trust in what God has already said. Remember the $500 illustration I gave you? Remember that Jesus says now, if you trust in me, I'll save you. Okay? That is what he said. Do you realize one thing? Many people still don't believe that. Because when you share with them the gospel, what do? They throw the tract away, they tear it away. You speak to people who believe other things, they will just say, ah, you just ignore it. Why? Because their mind is closed by what they previously believed. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, notice the last part of that verse. This is a very important thing. Because with what you believe, you will speak it out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, if you trust in Christ, you will confess Him. You will say, I'm a Christian. You will live your Christian life as well. Now, what does this mean for us, for Rahab who made this confession? And I believe this is a very important point. When Rahab said, your God is the God of heaven and earth, you know what she's saying? She's saying two things. Number one, two spies, I'm telling you, based on what I know of your God, I am saying your God is the God of heaven and earth. The first thing she does is, I am renouncing my gods of the Canaanites. I am saying my God, what I believe in previously, is not the truth. But what God says is the truth. Does it make sense? It is very important because many people hear the word of God today and mix it with what they think. Not Rahab, he says, your God is the Lord. And she is willing to follow it through. Number one, she's saying that I've renounced all the gods that I previously believed in, and she is openly declaring her faith in God Jehovah, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Okay? Because he is the image, not just the image, he is actually the Shekinah glory of Jehovah in the New Testament. Because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because Jesus is the Father. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. So there's two things that Rahab is doing here. When he heard how God is doing his things with Israel, he is saying, I'm renouncing my gods and I'm openly declaring Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm going to follow him with all my heart. Alright? Let me ask you a question. Do you understand what you hear every Sunday? Or do you? You know what? You may be hearing. The more I talk about, the more I'm just preparing for this message. You know, I'm going to touch on the third point, but it's a scary thing. When you hear, you know what the Bible says? In Matthew 13, there will be a group of people who will hear and will never understand. And I'm hoping that you will not be one of them. But not only do you need to understand, you need to put faith in what you understand. You need to believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God that made you. He loves you so much. He died for your sins and He rose again to show you a place in heaven. That unless you put your faith 100% in Him, you will never get to heaven. The Bible says never. But as a Christian, do you believe what you hear? There are many unbelieving believers. There are many people who say, yes, I know God will supply my needs, but I'll do it myself. God will help me to get better, but I'll do it myself. That's not faith. That's self. We depend on ourselves so much. And I say we, because all of us need to struggle to grow to the point that we depend on God more than anything. You know what? When Joshua and the spies came in, Rahab has already decided. Your God, His God. I'm renouncing all my gods and I'm following Him. Okay? Number three. Firstly, faith commences by what we hear. Number two, faith is confirmed by what we confess. And number three, faith is conveyed. In other words, it is manifested, is shown by what we do. I think it's a very important point. I want us to really think about this. Because what did Rahab do in response to her faith in Jehovah God? The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. She did three things. Sorry, she did four things. Number one, she hid the spies. She hid the spies. That was treason and betrayal to the country of Jericho. Do you realize why I say she renounced her gods of the Canaanites now? That when she do actually hit the spies, she is saying, I don't believe in my country's faith anymore. She has become a traitor to her country, number one, because of her faith. Number two, get this, she was a traitor to her country that she might be true to Christ. Amen? And let me put it this way, I'm not encouraging us to be traitors to our country. Okay, Sidia, David, Sidia. But I'm saying this. Do you realize some of us are willing to believe, but we are not willing to give up based on what you believe? Rahab was willing. She gave up her country because she knew that Jehovah Christ was God. The third thing, and what she did later on, she acted to save her family as well, right? Remember in Joshua chapter 2, if you read down, she told Joshua, let's look at Joshua chapter 2 and you will find that happening. After she has confessed her sin, or rather confessed to the people, the two spies that he knows God, verse 12, this is what Rahab said. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. The word true token means, give me genuine proof. Okay, what is that proof? That you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Christians, are you listening? Genuine faith. If you truly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, you will do all you can to reach your family with the gospel. Maybe some of you are here because your family genuinely cares for you and they want you to understand that Jesus loves you so much. She acted to save her family and everyone in it. Genuine faith always seeks the salvation of loved ones and those close to us. Look at Joshua chapter 6 verse 24. One more thing she did. I want you to understand this. This is so important. Faith is conveyed by what we do. Joshua chapter 6 verse 25. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel has already gone in. The walls of Jericho has fallen down. And they have gone in. They have conquered the land of Jericho. And notice in verse 25. And in verse 24 first. And they burned the city with fire. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in the Israel even unto this day. You know what? She left all to follow the God of Israel. She left everything to follow the God of Israel. The Bible says he went to Israel and stayed there. She left all to follow God. If you look at the result of faith, what is the result of genuine faith? I want us to follow along this thing. This is very important. Remember just now I said that when someone tells you, I'm going to give you $500, that is the basis of your faith, someone's word, right? Right? And so when you believe that this person is going to give you that $500, you will do all you can to ensure you get it. Yes? Okay? Now, when you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of your life, and He is going to give you eternal riches if you serve Him, He will give you blessings if you will serve Him, how urgent are we in trying to get that? Many of us have mental faith, but many of us do not have doing faith. Turn to James chapter 2. And you will find out what James mean when he said this. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. The Bible says, what does it, verse 14, James 2, 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, verse 14, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? You know what James is saying here? There are two levels of interpretation for this. One is, I say I'm a Christian, but I have no works. The word can faith save him means just because you say you're a Christian but you have nothing to show for it, what evidence is there? Okay? You can be genuine say because salvation is by faith, by grace through faith. Amen? Salvation is purely by grace through faith. I'm not saying you need to do works, alright? But it's very important. Faith, remember we're talking about the development of faith, how you grow in the Christian life. You know what the second level, can faith save him, literally also means. If you have that kind of faith that doesn't produce fruit, it may mean you have no faith in the first place. Does it make sense? Now, faith is the fountain, the foundation, and the fosterer of obedience. Let's look at Hebrews 11, and I'm showing you a few interesting things through there. I'm going to go through quite a number of verses very quickly. But I want to show you, faith is conveyed by what we do. The Bible says in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered. Notice the faith, notice the action. By faith, Abel offered an offering more acceptable, more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Going down to verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Do you realize how much faith Noah needed to build an ark? I'll give you a few historical facts. Number one, it has never rained before Genesis chapter 6. It has never rained, number one. Number two, there was no recorded instruction from God. God spoke to Noah, I'm going to send rain. You build a big boat. Number three, Noah didn't know what a boat was. Because they didn't need to travel. Apparently during that time, all the land was together. It was the flood that broke out the continents. Okay? Number four, they didn't know, just now I said, there was no rain. So they never had an idea. Can you imagine the type of faith Noah had? No boat before, never rained before. God, what are you talking about? But you know what the Bible says? By faith. This is what Noah is saying. I don't know what rain is. I don't know what an ark is. I don't know what is going to happen. But I know that God, the creator of heaven and earth, told me to build an ark and I'm going to do it. So by faith, Noah prepared an ark. Faith, action. Alright, the next one, let's go down. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should afterward receive an inheritance, obeyed, get this, and he went out not knowing where he went. You know one of the things I say, okay, going to a church camp, what was the first question y'all will ask? Where are you going? Right? What if I tell you, I don't know? Many people make a decision to go for church camp on the basis of where it is. Agree? What if I tell you going to church camp in Pulau Ubin? Or maybe in Sembawang Park where we just pitch camp? Would you come? You know what? Genuine faith says, Abraham, do you realize Abraham didn't know where he was going? If you look at, that's what the Bible says, not knowing where he went. Faith. If you can figure it out, it is not faith. Many people don't believe that Jesus is God. You know why? Because they can't figure out how a Trinity can happen. But the Bible says there's a Trinity. Amen? 1 John 5 in verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's what the Bible says. Very obviously clear. Unless you don't have faith in God's Word. Okay? Now, the next one in Hebrews Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Sarah was 90 years old. And she became pregnant with her first child. How is that possible? By faith. Do you realize that in Romans chapter 4, we won't turn there, but God said, Abraham had so much faith that against hope, she believed God. He believed God. That God was able to bless him with a son. By faith. By faith. In verse number 20, Hebrews, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. They don't know what was happening. I like this. In Hebrews 11 verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. How long was it when Joseph died to the time that Israel went out of Egypt? How long was that? 400 years. Joseph before he died, told the children of Israel, now look, you guys are getting out of Egypt. Now when you go, bring my bones along. He told the children of Israel 400 years before it actually happened. What is that? Faith. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he knew that God was going to do it. You're going on. By faith, Moses, of course, you know that. Then later on, you go down, the very last one you will find is by faith, the harlot Rahab perish not. God, as it were, you know the most interesting thing about this? If you look at all the others besides Sarah, they're all men, and they're all men of faith. Strong men of faith. May I use the word harlot? Oh, sorry, Rahab was a prostitute. Can I say this? By faith, God can take whatever background you have and change you. Amen? God can take whatever background you have and change you. That is the power of the gospel of the word of God. He can take what kind of... You don't care what background you have if you are willing to trust Him first. In other words, you are willing to, like Rahab, renounce your past and say, I don't care where I've come from, but if Jesus can change my life, I'll follow Him. I've got news for you. He can. He's changed my life. He's changed many lives that are here. And maybe you're a visitor for the first time. Jesus can change your life too, because He promised. Because He is the life giver. John chapter 10 verse 10. I am come that ye might have life, and ye might have it what? More abundantly. God don't just want to save us from hell. He wants to give us a good life. When I talk about good life, doesn't mean give you car and condo. Give you a good life means He'll lead you in your life. When you face the trials, He's going to guide you. You'll find that in every situation, faith in the individual is conveyed by action ending with Rahab. I like that. Because the Bible says this. Notice even in Hebrews 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Can I say this is a very interesting observation? Who heard? Do you think the people of Jericho heard that God dried up the Red Sea? Because the Bible says, Rahab said, we have heard. Do you think the people of Jericho heard how God destroyed the king of Sihon and Og? Because Rahab said, we have heard. But how many believed? Only Rahab. And Christians, listen to this. Because of Rahab, for those who come from families who have not Christians but you yourself, because of Rahab, God saved his entire household. Amen? Which means that if you would shine and trust Jesus with all your heart, oh, may God give you hope. There is hope. When there's life, there's still hope. And if Rahab is able to change by God's grace and her entire household is saved, so can your household. Because Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. He still has the same power to save. But faith is conveyed by what we do. Let me ask you some questions. Number one, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that He is God? If you don't believe, then you cannot be saved. That's what the Bible says. But if you genuinely believe, then where is your salvation to prove it? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Number one. The next question, do you believe in baptism? Do you believe that the Bible says to be baptized? Then my question is, then where is your baptism? Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Then where is your prayer? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe that the Bible is the final authority upon everything that you should live on? Then I'll ask a question. Do you then read it often and memorize it often? Learn it often? Study it often? Do you believe? Do you believe in hell? Some people don't. Well, I've got news for you. If you don't believe in hell, every Christian here is safe. Amen? Because if you don't believe in hell, then everyone is safe. We won't die and go to hell, right? That's what the world says. But what if the Bible is true? What if the Bible is true? Then there is a hell, and those who don't believe in hell will be there, whether they believe it or not. Right? Christians can ask you, do you believe in hell? That people are dying going to hell? Then where's our evangelism? Where's our reaching out to them? Where's our heart of compassion that say, I'll do all I can to reach out to someone in need? When was the last time you weep over someone? Do you believe in the local church? Then where's your loyalty to it, your membership to it, your support to it, your faithful attendance at it, and your faithful service through it? Because faith is conveyed by what you do. That is the natural development of faith. If you are genuinely Christian, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized and were added to the church. And in verse 42, and they what? Continue what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and prayers and fellowship. And the Bible says great fear was upon all of them. That is a natural development of faith. Right? So is your faith developing naturally? Do you believe in giving sacrificially to the Lord? Then where's your giving? In terms of money, in terms of time, in terms of service. Do you believe in the Great Commission? Then how much are we doing to ensure that it's being fulfilled? Because faith is conveyed by what we do. The development of faith in the life of a genuine believer. Do you believe that God cares for you? Then why don't you trust Him? Why don't you just trust Him? But I can't see Him. That's the idea. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Brother Johnny, are you telling me to trust someone I cannot see? Well, you know what? You may not see Him, but He's here. You know why? There's evidence. There's evidence. Because you know why? I'm looking at people whose lives are changed because they trust Christ. Amen? Amen? The Bible says in John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit is like the wind that blows. Whatever direction the wind blows, you don't know, but you can see the effects. Amen? But you know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to believe in the Word of God. Do you believe that God will answer prayer? Then pray. Then pray with all your heart. And number four, the last point. Faith commences by what we hear. Faith is confirmed by what we confess. Faith is conveyed by what we do. And faith is completed by the blessings of God. Do you know what happened to Rahab? Number one, Rahab's entire family was rescued from the destruction of Jericho. Amen? Simply because I'm going to put my faith in the Lord God of Jehovah. I'm going to renounce what I believe. In other words, some of you may have to say, Brother Johnny, if that is true, then whatever philosophy I stand on, I'm going to put it aside. I'm just going to say, then show me from the Bible. I can tell you with all my heart, having a Christian for 30 years and pastor for the last 10, God has never failed to give me an answer through the Word. Never! Because you know what? He is the answer to life. Amen? Amen? Jesus is the answer to eternal life. But you know, we've got to go to Him. But why? What do? We fight ourselves. Why? When Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, come to Him. He's the way. Tells us where to go. He's the truth. He tells us what we need to know. And He's the life. He tells us how to live. Why don't you just go to Him? You know why we sometimes don't go to Him? It might just be because of pride. The human pride says, I can handle life myself. God says, no, you can't. That's why you're in the fix you're in. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Number one, the entire family of Rahab was saved. Number two, Rahab moved to Israel, get this, and he married one of the princes of Judah. Did you realize that? Salmon was his name. Matthew chapter 1. Another blessing that Rahab had was her name was placed in the hall of faith. Can you imagine that? How would you like your name? Brother Desmond. By faith, Brother Desmond gave up his job and whatever. Whatever. Will you do all you can to put... If God put your name there, it means something. But you know one of the greatest blessings of Rahab? I think we all know Rahab was one of the ancestors of the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God would take someone as impure as Rahab, changed her life, and blessed her to be one of the ancestors in the Jewish genealogy of the Savior of this world, His own Son. What a blessing that is. But do you believe? Do you believe? You know, God can through faith change a person. What are some lessons from Rahab? Very quickly, specifically. But Brother Johnny, you know what? I've heard. I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. So some of you may say, Brother Johnny, I've been baptized. But everything else seems to crumble after that. You know what's the reason? How are you supposed to grow if you don't have the Word of God in your life? And how are you supposed to grow if you don't have the Word of God and faith in the Word of God in your life? Can I borrow a chair? Do you realize how many of you, before you sat on your chair just now, actually prayed, God, I need your help. Give me faith to sit on this chair. How many of you did that? Put your hand. You just kind of went in and sat down, right? Do you realize what you did? You put faith in this chair without even thinking. Your natural assumption is this chair is going to hold your weight. Yes? Some of you, when you go up to the children's room, you look at the small chair, and for the size you are, you may think three times before you sit down on the chair. You know why? Because you are going to think, can the chair take my weight? For information, I've broken chairs before. Some of the youth are laughing. Wait till you come to my age. Let's say if I have a... Actually, I might just show. Where's my pouch? Stay for my pouch is there. Right? I'm going to make a proposition for us. I'm not rich, but I'll give $10 to anyone who will come and take it.
I need $10.
It is. Might be funny, but you know what? How many of us will actually say I'm willing to go and take it? You know what will stop us? Maybe we're shy. Maybe we are. God's promises are available to every Christian. Amen. How many of us actually on a daily basis say, Lord, if that's what you say, I'll believe it. Even though it may be hard, Lord, because you said it, I'll do it. I'll give you some final lessons on the lesson of Rahab. Number one, very simple, very straightforward. Listen to messages diligently. In other words, from this coming onwards, whenever you open the Bible, ensure that God speaks to you. But you know what? You need to listen to the Bible messages diligently. My encouragement, take a notebook, pen, everyone that is taught, prayerfully ask, Lord, what do you want me to grasp? Number one. Number two, if you don't understand the Bible, seek to ask questions. Especially the youth. Sometimes we hear the Word of God are just... You know what? You can be in church for 10 years. You still die and go to hell because you don't know what God said. Number two, meditate and think often. Do you realize how long Rahab kept that information about the Red Sea in her mind? How long was it when the Red Sea to the time of Rahab meeting the spies? How long was that? 40 years. And it was still fresh in Rahab's mind. Christian, next, believe what you have heard and then obey with all of your heart. But Brother Johnny, if I were to obey, that means I have to make some changes in my life. What do you think Rahab did? You see, when Jesus saved us, He says you are a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. If you are someone who is held by your past, God wants to change your life. And I'm praying that today's message will help us to understand the development of the normal development of faith. What you hear, and then your belief, and then what you do, and then you will see the blessings. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, like many Christians who have never been taught to read your Bible in the first place, for example, we struggle with our faith, don't we? By God's grace, they will make a difference in the master. We will teach people how to read the Bible so that they will know for themselves the Word of God. And then on a daily basis, to grow. Youth, for those who will be going to JC Polytechnic, you listen to me. Don't you sacrifice Bible reading time for your studies. I can guarantee you, you will slide away from God. It happened many, many times. Many people, when they get ingrained into the JC Polytechnic culture, they will give up God. Mark it down. If you do not put God first, you may do well in the world. But God says, if you lose your faith, my soul will draw back from you. In other words, when you go through life's problems next time, you will not seek God. Parents, are you seeking to build your life on what you think or what the Bible says? You have a choice. The Bible has never failed anyone who's put their trust in Him. Never. I vouch my life on it. If you can find a time that God is unfaithful for you, I will stop becoming a Christian. But you can't! Because our God is true, amen? He is true and true, and He is faithful. You know what? The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, even though we are unfaithful, He's still faithful to us. The fact that you are still alive today shows He's still faithful to you. Do you have genuine faith in your life today? Christians seek to obey God at all costs. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time, and Lord, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a special way. God, I know that unless You build a house in our lives, we will labor in vain. Lord, we thank You for the story of Rahab. How her faith developed. How when she heard the Word of God, she believed on it. And Lord, through her life, she demonstrated that she knew that You are God. And she's willing to back it up with her life and her actions. God, I'm praying right now. Because many people say they have faith. But Lord, I'm praying that we will not only have faith, but that we will have genuine faith. I'm thankful for the testimony of many Christians here. When they got saved, they got baptized, joined the church and kept serving God. They were faithful. Lord, I'm praying specifically You will protect this group from being stumbled by the evil one, by others. But Lord, there's yet another group who have trusted You as their personal Savior, Lord, and perhaps have also taken the step of baptism, but something happened along the way. And God, basically they've lost faith. But I'm thanking You that they are still wanting to come and understand Your Word. But God, I pray that You give them the strength to put faith in Your Word once again. Now I pray for one group that just don't want to believe anymore. Lord, there's nothing we can do to change hearts, only You can. And I'm praying, Father, right now that You would take their hearts and to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Father, I ask You to do a mighty work at this time. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just ask You a question. How is your development of faith at this time? Do you know what you hear? Have you confessed it? Have you said, Lord, I believe what You said? And have you done anything about it? You see, the Bible says in James chapter 2, even the devils believe. But they tremble. In other words, they have an action consistent with what they believe. They tremble in the presence of God. But what about you? Do you believe? Then what is your action? For some of you, the next action is, well, if Jesus is the Lord of my life, I haven't been baptized, in the next step, Lord, help me. I'm going to be baptized because I want to have that faith genuinely exhibited. For some of us, it could be, Lord, I'm in sin. And You are saying, Lord, forgive me And by your grace, I'll do all I can to get rid of this sin in my life. I will stay away from it. If it's a computer, if it's the books, it's the whatever, if friends you have, Lord, I'm going to stay away from it because I want to follow Jehovah God. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who is the creator of heaven and earth. And say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. If some of you, as in your families, you are guiding your family based on what you think. And maybe that's why things are in a mess. But can I say to you, Jesus is still the way. He's still the truth. He's still the life. And for non-Christians, He will lead them to heaven. But for Christians, He will guide us on our way. You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to put Christ right back where He belongs as a king of my life and my family. With those questions in mind, say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. If that's your testimony, just put up your right hand. Don't open your eyes. Just, and I'll pray for you that God will help you to understand more. Is there anyone? Amen. Amen. I'll pray for you. Anyone else? Just put it up, put it down and pray. Amen. I can see that hand too. And anyone else? Anyone else? Just put it up and put it down. Amen. I see those hands. Yeah. Lord, I want, amen, I can see that hand too. I want that faith to develop in my life. I want to be faithful to what God tells me. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. You know, it's between you and God. It's between you and God. But you know what? I just want to pray for you as your pastor. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Is there anyone? I want God to be in charge of my life. I want His Word to be alive to me. But some of you may say, Brother Johnny, amen. I see that hand. Put it up, put it down. I'll pray for you. But you know what? You need to just say, God, if that is Your will, I'll follow it with all my heart. I'll read it daily. I'll make sure it's part and parcel of my life. Is there anyone else? Can I just ask one more question? If you're here today, you have never heard that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, God Himself, came down to die for our sin. And if we will put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life, because that's what He said. If you do not believe Jesus, you have no eternal life. That's what the Bible says. In fact, you will go to a place called the lake of fire. But you know what? But God commended His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I don't know all about salvation, but if that's what you're saying, and this is what the Bible is true, then I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior. Is there anyone like that? We won't force you, but if you put up your hand, we'll get someone to share with you, a lady with a lady, a man with a man. But you know what is so important? We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you for money. We just want an opportunity to share with you the words of life. Is there anyone? Alright, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for those people who have put up their hand. God, please. God, develop genuine faith in Your people. Lord, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will take the words that is spoken today. That God, You will take the life of Rahab and make it an encouragement to us of what it means to hear and then to believe and then to act on that faith. As we can see, Father, the entire life of Rahab was caught up in the life of Israel, because after what happened at Jericho, Father, she lived her entire life in Israel and became one of the ancestors of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You that You can take even an impure person as Rahab was and change her into a princess for You. Father, I pray that You give us encouragement from this text, that You can do the same to us. Father, I'm praying for every family that needs You to be the foundation of their lives. I pray, God, that they will not only hear Your word, but they will believe what they hear. And I pray for the rest of us who are pressing on. Help us on a daily basis, Lord, to have a daily communion with You, that we might walk. We might walk the narrow way to honor You. God, thank You for what You're going to do now. Lord, as we depart from this place, I ask for Your greatest blessings from everyone. I ask You to help us to walk by faith this week. Lord, I pray You bless everyone who has come. And that, God, I pray this week we will be a life influence to someone else in our workplace. And may we have self-control all over the things that You have taught us to do. And God will thank You for what You're going to do. Help us to grow faith in our lives. But we know without the Holy Spirit's help, we can't. So Lord, we invite You, we want You to take control of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just we'll finish, and God bless.